So in this text, we are talking about the path of love or devotion. And we had said that there is love for objects, love for things. And then there is love for God, which is the supreme love. And as we had talked last week, love for objects or a particular person is called attachment because it makes me dependent. And it's exclusive, where I only love that person or that object and I do anything to acquire. But love for God is universal, makes me inclusive, where I see God in everybody. I don't only limit myself to that form in the church or the temple or that particular group or sect or that particular branch of, but my love for all is universal. So true devotee of the Lord cannot but love everybody else. So we had talked about that last week, and you can see it on the website. I think that talk was quite beneficial because it talks about the difference between attachment to the world and love for God. You can see it on the website, firstpower.info. The talks are present. So today we are going to talk about what are the qualifications. People say, I want to love God, but I don't feel I'm good enough. I don't feel I'm qualified. And there are some, you know, I find these saints, they had so much love for God. And then there are some people who are so spiritual. I don't have that, you know, and I'm a sinner. I've not lived a good life. I have never gone to the church that much. I never thought about it. And will God even love me or accept me? So we always have these doubts. And main thing is, am I qualified? Am I good enough? I may love God, but does God love me? So that question is answered in verse number 10. This text you don't have, but at the end of the class, if you like, you can buy that. Also, if you cannot read the board, you may want to come on this side. Are you able to read? You can just move to the middle or on this side, please. Yeah, so that'll help you. Page number 19, verse number 10. Vishishta yogyata peksha. Yogyata peksha. Jnana yoga kriya dishu. Jnana yoga kriya dishu. Adhikarastu sarvesham. Karastu sarvesham. Bhakti. Yoge vina bhidam. Ge vina bhidam. So he says, Vishishta yogyata apeksha. So and there are four yogas or four paths how we can pursue the path of spirituality. They say the way to the spiritual goal or the way to God, there are four ways you can go towards him. And what are they? I've listed them here. One is the path of knowledge, the path of study and knowledge. Second is the path of yoga, where we do those physical exercises. And the path of karma. Karma includes rituals, you know, doing special rituals, and also the path of service. And then the fourth is the path of love or devotion, what we call as bhakti, which is what we are studying in this text. So, apeksha, so it is required in the three yogas, jnana, yoga, kriyadishu. Jnana is knowledge, yoga, and the path of karma. In these three, vishishta apeksha, yogyata, special qualifications are required. For these three paths, we need some special qualifications. Adhikarastu sarvesham, bhakti yoge. In the path of love, in the path of love, in the path of bhakti, in the path of devotion to God, adhikarastu sarvesham, everybody has a right, everybody is qualified. Vina bidham, all are eligible. There is nobody who is not qualified to love God, who is not qualified, or for whom this path is not available. So let us study this a little bit. I thought I would talk a little bit about the three paths in brief. Actually, each one of these, you know, would take an hour. But in brief, say somebody who wants to go on the path of knowledge, where he says, I want to study the scriptures and I want to know, you know, what is God and what is not God, and I want to study the philosophy and all the, and I want to memorize the ancient texts. So he goes to a teacher and he sits down and studies the scriptures, and he studies all the complex, you know, arguments for and against. And so first of all, that person has to have intelligence to sit, because these scriptures are written in such obscure language and such ancient language, and the knowledge is so subtle that it is not easy to understand those, especially the ones about who am I, what is this world. So he has to have intelligence and the ability to logic, to discuss, okay, this is right, this is wrong. When the teacher is telling him or her, she has to be able to memorize, be able to remember. If the teacher gives an example, say they talk about Oppenheimer or talk about Galileo or talk about Shankaracharya, then he has to know who are these people, what do they represent, quantum physics, some example. So the person has to have some general knowledge, has to have ability to logically think about the subject. Then on the path of knowledge, you have to have the discrimination of what is right, what is wrong, what is real, what is unreal, what I should pick up, what I should discard. So the ability to logically choose is required on the path of knowledge. You cannot just sit down and say, I'm going to study the scriptures. You need some preparation. It's like you're going to a PhD course. You cannot say, after high school, I'm straight away going to go. No, they say you have to go through the bachelor's, you have to go through the master's, you have to work for a couple of years before you go into the PhD. So the path of knowledge is for advanced thinkers. They have to have some degree of detachment. You cannot be attached to the world and to things and beings and then sit down and start thinking who is God and contemplate and meditate. No, one has to slowly develop detachment and withdrawal from the world. One has to control one's mind and senses, because if you're sitting and studying or contemplating or with a teacher and then your mind is wandering into the world of objects, then you're not going to be able to concentrate, because this knowledge requires very subtle, very concentrated thinking. Then one has to have faith in the scriptures, faith in the teacher, and withdrawal from objects, detachment from objects. And then forbearance, because on this path of knowledge, there will be some doubts, there will be some discussion, some people will contradict you, some people will oppose you, and you say, you know, I don't think I'm right, you know, I get easily distracted. No, I am firm. Once I know my path, once my teacher has given me the ability to go firmly. And then finally, the desire to go within, to absorb in the self, because in the path of knowledge, I am taught that the Lord is within as the self, as the consciousness. So I turn my attention inward. And the determination to reach. In the path of yoga, which is the physical exercises, where people sit and do advanced exercises for hours, you know, do all these special yogas, and then they get certain skills and get certain powers where they can walk on water and they can, you know, sit in one position for several hours. They can go without food and water. It needs a lot of physical training. You have to have the physical abilities. You have to have the right teacher. Simple yoga that we do here is okay on Tuesdays and all. But if you really want to advance, you have to have a very good teacher and have to have the abilities and the persistence. Then the path of ritual. Some people say, I like to pray. I like to do prayers. And there are elaborate rituals prescribed in our scriptures where you can sit down and perform certain rituals for certain results. You know, like in fact, there are certain rituals where if you want to make it rain, actually, if it is performed, that can be done. Or if you want to go to higher worlds, you know, so there are certain rituals which are prescribed, but you have to do them correctly. You have to, again, learn from them. You have to learn from a teacher. So all these paths require some prerequisites, some pre-training. But how about in the path of love? They said the path of love, when you want to say, I love God, is open to all. God does not choose and say, only he, she will come and he will not, because God loves everybody. So if you turn your mind towards him, everybody is welcome. It's like, say, I want to go meet the president, or I want to go meet the governor of the state. So they say, you know, you write a letter. They say, first of all, they say, who are you? Why do you want to meet? So you have to say, okay, this is the reason I want to meet. This is what a goal I want to reach. I want to discuss this or learn this. So then you have to make an appointment. They will analyze you. The Secret Service will investigate you. Not anybody can just go meet the governor or the president. But if you want to go to your own house, do you need time? No, you can go anytime. Or you have a close friend, a close buddy, you know, childhood friend. To meet her or him, you don't need an appointment. She said, why did you come? You say, I missed you. I just came. You know, you just show up at their house. You don't need to. Or at the most, you can call and say, look, I'm getting bored. It's Saturday evening. I'm not doing anything. Come on, let's go for a movie. Or I'm coming to your house and I'll pick up dinner and we'll sit and eat together. You're informal, you know. So that is how the relationship with God is. It is open to all. It is not limited to a few people. It is not, God is not like the president or the governor that will investigate, you know, send Secret Service. If you want to go to him, he says, everybody is welcome. It is open to all. Like, you know, you want to call a person whom you don't know. You're not going to call him on Saturday morning. You'll call on Friday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon and go through his secretary. And the secretary will say, why do you need to talk to the boss? And then you give a reason. And then she'll say, I'll see if he's available, or I'll take your number and call you back. But, you know, your close friend, you can just call him anytime, even 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. He'll say, what? I'm asleep. It's okay. I just wanted to talk to you. So you do not need an appointment. It is open to all. And you do not need any of those skills. And you don't need to have a certain intelligence. You don't need to have physical abilities, organizational skills, rituals. Why? Because everybody has the capacity to love. The capacity to love is there in every one of us. It's where you have invested the love that is the question. It's like there is a rich man and he wants to start a new business. So what does he do? He has money, you know, put in some bank, in a safe deposit, or in a CD, or in some money market funds, or in some place where he is safe. And so I want to start a new business. I need to invest $500,000. So all he does is liquidate those shares or those money market money and put it in an investment. Why? Because he has the funds. But say a person who has no money, you know, and he wants to start a business. He has no capital, but he has a wonderful idea. So what does he do? He goes to some financials, some banks. Banks say, you don't have any, you know, you don't have any security. You don't have any property. You don't have any collateral. We're not going to give you money. So then he goes, you know, to his friends or goes to his, you know, some people whom he knows and collects money and bothers and people and all. And finally, he collects $500,000 and starts a business. And then also he doesn't know if the business will succeed or not. There was one guy who had borrowed money from a lot of people. And finally, you know, he was in a condition where, you know, he didn't look like he was going to be able to pay back. So his friend says, you need to be thankful. It was Thanksgiving. He says, you need to be thankful. He said, thankful for what? I owe money to so many people. My business is not doing good. What do I have to be thankful for? He says, be thankful you are not one of your creditors. Because they are more unhappy than you. Because you at least, you know, because their money is going. So in the case of love, all of us have the capital. We all have love in our heart. But the thing is, just like the businessman, he has the capital, but he has tied it up in some funds, but he has to release from those funds, sell those stocks, and transfer it. So each one of us has this capital of love, but we have invested it in things and beings. We love our, you know, I mean, it's okay to love your family, but excessive time, you know, just only spent in the family or thinking about children or about husband, or I love my dog or my cat, or so much I love my house. You know, I spend so much time cleaning the house and, you know, decorating the house and all ideas. I read books about the house or my car. You know, I spend 2 hours every Sunday, you know, polishing my car and shining it. Or some people love their body and they spend all their time in taking care of their body, you know, exercising. I mean, it's good to exercise, but spending hours in the gym and then going to the beauty shop and then going to the store to buy clothes and makeup and plastic surgery and all these foundations and creams, hours and hours they spend. So why? Because they love their body and they want to, which is good, you know, to look nice and to take care of the body. But if all your time is spent in that, then when are you going to have time for, you know, other things? When am I going to have time to love God or remember God? Or when am I going to have time to serve the world? Because they say that the purpose of human birth is only twofold. The reason we got this human body and this intelligence and this brilliant body and all this ability is only two. One is to serve the world, and other one is to reach God. There is no other purpose for which you have taken birth. Serve the world, purify your mind through service, and reach God. Everything else that you do, you take care of your family, your work, your money, your home, and everything else should be secondary. And even when I'm doing my work, or even when I'm doing my duties, my main focus should be, am I serving the world and am I getting closer to God? So our capital, which at this moment is invested in things and beings, has to be turned towards God and towards service. So everyone has the capital. Everyone has the ability. It is just not placed in the right place. So focus your abilities, focus your mind, focus your thoughts on love for God, and spend some time every day exclusively devoted towards spiritual pursuits. Half hour to 1 hour I should dedicate every day, at least half an hour in the morning for meditation, and maybe an hour if you can at night every day for some study, reading some good books, doing some prayers, exclusive time where that 1 hour I will not answer the phone, I will not do exclusive time for my spiritual growth. So some amount of time in study, some amount of time in meditation where you turn off the cell phone, don't answer. So that I slowly my mind should be filled with these thoughts. So exclusive time has to be given to it. Just as we give exclusive time to our business, we give exclusive time to our work. When I'm playing golf, that is exclusive. My mind is totally on golf. So or when I'm watching TV, with so much attention we watch. You know, you don't want to miss a single dialogue. You know, so that kind of attention should be turned towards spirituality. So everyone has the capital. And person says, I am a sinner. You know, I have committed, you know, you're talking. There is no greater sinner than I am. All my thoughts are even sinful. My words are sinful. My actions are sinful. And I don't think God will accept me. They say it's like a child gets dirty, you know, falls in the mud, or she's playing in the mud or the muck, or the boy is running around and gets totally dirty and running out and playing in the mud and rolling and all. Now, if he goes to a stranger's house, he'll say, get out of here, you dirty fellow. Why are you here? Don't come dirty my house. Stay away. You know, go home and wash and before you come. But if he goes to his own house, his mother, will she ever tell him, get away, dirty fellow? No, she'll embrace him. Even if she gets dirty, she'll take him to the, you know, shower him, give him a bath, clean him, give him, put on fresh clothes. She may get dirty, but for her, you know, the child, whether it's dirty or clean, is my child. It's my beloved child. And she loves the child, whether it's dirty or clean, whether it's, you know. So similarly, God loves us whether we are sinners or whether we are saints. All he says, just as the boy has to just come to his mother's house and she will accept him with love, while a stranger may not. So similarly, a devotee of the Lord just has to turn his or her attention to him and say, God, I am a sinner, but you purify me. Because there is a beautiful song. He says, I have heard, O Lord, that you are the purifier of sinners. In this song, he says, I heard you are the purifier of sinners. And that's great, because I am a sinner and you are a purifier. So we make a great pair. Let us be together. I have committed very many sins, but I have come to you now and you purify me. And that is true. When you remember the Lord with love, when you think of his name, it doesn't matter what name you choose. It doesn't matter what form. It doesn't matter what language. It doesn't have to be in Latin or Greek or Sanskrit. It doesn't matter with what attitude. Doesn't matter whether you have taken a bath or not. Doesn't matter where you are, whatever you are. Just think about him with love and he opens his arms to accept you. Why? Because he is there with us always. The only problem is that we don't have time for him. God is constantly with us. At this moment, he's talking through me and he is listening through you. But we don't have time to think about God. So they say, turn your mind, and no matter how many sins you have committed, no matter what kind of life you have lived, the day you come and turn your mind towards me, he says, I purify you of all sins. I accept you. I embrace you, just as a mother, you know, will embrace a child, even if the child has committed so many crimes and hasn't cared for her and has gone all over the world and drugs and this and that. The day he comes and says, Mother, I love you, take me back. Her arms are open, her door is open, no matter how many crimes the child has committed. So that's what they say. The Lord is the purifier. And just turn your mind and he will purify. Then they say the language of love is universal. There is no specific language. The language of love is everybody understands. Even plants, they say that plants, that there are two groups of plants. And one group, you talk to them with love and play soft music and water them nicely. And another plant, you play rock music and curse them and yell at them. The plants grow differently. The plant that is loved and talked to softly grows much better than the plant that is talked to with anger. Look, if you talk to your dog or cat, they respond to the language of love. So why won't humans? In fact, there was a very beautiful movie I remember watching. It was a great hit. It was in the 60s or 70s, where the hero was a clown in a circus. And he was, you know, very good clown and very famous. And in that particular circus, a trapeze artist, they call her from Russia. They hire her and they pay her a lot of money because the circus wanted to attract more people. So they said, we have this great star from Russia who is the world famous trapeze artist. Nobody can do it like her. And so she came and, you know, started doing tricks, and the circus multiplied two or three times, got very successful because she was so famous. And this clown got attracted to this trapeze artist. Now, he spoke Hindi, Indian, and she spoke Russian, and she did not speak a word of Hindi, and he did not speak a word of Russian. But in that movie, it shows how they fall in love. And even though they don't understand each other's words, through gestures and through, you know, eyes and through, slowly they fall deeply in love. And then he teaches her some simple words of her language and she teaches. So the point is that the language of love is universal. You don't, you know, we find people here, especially in America, people from different countries, from different cultures. You know, it's a melting pot. Where, you know, in the past, if it was, you know, in India especially, you could only marry within your caste. Even people from your own state, if they didn't belong to your caste, they were not good enough. But here, you know, you come here and, you know, you marry a Mexican or you marry a Caucasian or a Black or an Asian. You know, everything is broken, all the barriers. So the language of love is universal. Everybody can love. And that is what they say, that for the path of love, you don't need any of these. You just need a pure heart and you need total devotion and commitment. That is very important, that, oh Lord, I am yours. Do with me what you want. that surrender and that total love, just as when we are dating somebody and, you know, you are constantly thinking about that person day and night, and, you know, and you just want to be with that person, you call that person, you are texting, and you are, you know, all the time. So similarly, I should develop that attitude towards God just as a new found lover, you know, just as how I love, that kind of attitude, and then he's ready to accept you. So that's what it says, that the path of love does not require any special qualification and is open to all. It's a very, very beautiful verse. I really enjoyed talking about it. If anybody has any comments or any questions. Oh, yeah. No, it helps, definitely. Mm-hmm. You have to, eventually, what will happen is when you start loving God, all of this will come automatically. Mm-hmm. Once you turn your mind towards Him, you will withdraw from other objects. You will develop more faith in God. You will discriminate, okay, what is right for me, what is wrong. You will detach from the world. Your mind and senses, instead of running into the world, will run towards Him. But you don't have to have a prerequisite. You don't have to be disqualified if you don't have these qualities. But they will come. And if you have them, that's very good. If you love God above everything else, you already have detachment. That's great. You already are halfway there. If you have forbearance, you know, if you have the physical abilities, organized persistence. So if you have these qualities, it is wonderful. But if you do not have these qualities, it does not disqualify you from the path of love. That's what we are saying. And as you develop love, automatically, it's like somebody who loves basketball and wants to be an NBA star. So what he will do? He will develop all of these. He will develop detachment. He will stop going to parties and movies and, you know, late nights. Why? Because he has to eat healthy, sleep well. He has to train. He has to exercise, or if he wants to win the Olympics, then 8 years before, he will start training. He will develop discrimination. Okay, for the Olympics, what is going to help me? Proper diet, proper exercise, proper training. And what is going to take away if I overeat, or if I become unhealthy, or if I sleep late, or if I party too much, if I drink too much? So automatically, person develops discrimination, detachment. His mind and he says, Olympics, Olympics, Olympics. That's all he's thinking for 8 years. So he develops control of the mind. Withdrawal from other things, faith in himself, forbearance, all of them come when your goal is clear. So when your goal is spiritual progress and love for God, and you have that much love, just as an NBA player has for basketball or an Olympic star has for Olympics, that much love when you have, then automatically these qualifications come. I think that's a very good question. That's a very good point. Thank you. I didn't bring that up, but I'm glad you mentioned that. That these qualities come automatically, but even if you don't have them, you are not disqualified. God does not say, you know, you have to have discrimination, detachment, intelligence, logic before you come to me. God says, no, you just come and my arms are open. So yeah, that was, but it's a good point. Thank you. Right. Yeah, rituals are good. You know, sitting down and before you sit for, say, even for meditation, before I sit, I do some chant, some mantra, some, you know, name of God and think about, you know, the form and bring it to your mind and all. But sitting down and formally praying is good. It helps. But it should not become that alone is the only way to go, ritual alone. But ritual should purify my mind, should quieten my mind and make my mind ready for meditation, ready to love God. So rituals are good. But again, then rituals, you need to know the, you know, techniques, you need to know the mantras, you need to know how to do it. So that was the point. But yeah, I'm not putting down rituals. Rituals are very good. But what happens, some people make rituals the end. Okay, I have to do this ritual. That's it. And it becomes mechanical. And it becomes that.
As long as the ritual don't become.
It becomes a means, right? Yes. It should be a means
as
to the
goal. As long as the ritual don't become obsession.
Right.
You are not really
Right, and nothing else is nothing else. Right, right, exactly.
So, you know, that's one point I pointed out. That
the yeah.
The rituals are not the only thing you believe in, and if you
yes.
become so fixed, focused on that only, mm-hmm. more than that, you are not.
So, yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Love, to me, is the most important force in any growth. Whether you love, whether you want to be a good computer engineer, you want to be a good scientist, you want to be a good artist, you want to be a good writer, you want to be a good businessman, you want to be a good student, a good professor, you have to love your profession, you have to love. So love is a very powerful force. And once you love, then everything else comes. Like once I love basketball, then I want to know everything about basketball. I want to play basketball. Once I love computers, then I want to learn about computers. What are the latest computers coming and how are the new programs and the new software? And then I buy the programs and then I apply it. So action and knowledge comes when you love. So one has to love God. One has to and have develop a relationship with God, not of fear, but of love. I've talked many times. God, you can love God as a father in heaven. You can love God as my divine loving master. You can love God as a friend. You can love God as a child. You can love God as a father or a mother. But you have to develop a relationship of love. And once you have love, then you want to know who is this God? What does he do? Where does he come from? So then you learn from the books, from reading books. Like this book is a very good book if you want to learn about love. Read this book in detail and you will find that it explains everything about love for God. And we have many such books in our library. So once I love God, then I want to know who he is. Then once I know who God is, once I love, then I see God in everybody. Then I want to serve. So action, knowledge, and love all come together. That's number one. So develop love for God. Develop a relationship, personal relationship, not a relationship of fear that he's some person up there like a big, you know, like a king or some kind of monarch waiting and to, you know, punish me. But he loves me. So develop and then start reading about him. Read some good books, you know, come to these classes or meet with other teachers and then put some effort, do some service, do some prayers, do some rituals. So when you do, then slowly your love will increase and you will find that he is with you all times. That's number one. Your second question about God and devil, we are, all of us are a mixture of good and bad vasanas. Vasanas are our tendencies, which you can call as God and devil, or you can call as vasanas or tendencies. And we are a mixture of good and bad. Even the greatest saint has some negative qualities, even the best saint. And even the worst sinner, even the worst criminal, will have some love. He may love his child, or he may have some human qualities, some good qualities of honesty. Even the crooks, you know, who rob a bank, but with each other they are very honest. If they have robbed a bank and stolen $1 million, if there are five people, they'll divide it exactly equal. They won't cheat each other. If they cheat, then the one who cheats will get killed by the other four. So even the greatest criminals have good qualities. Even the greatest saints have some negative. Maybe they have anger, or maybe they may have some, you know, and not able to control the mind at all times. So we are all a mixture of good and bad vasanas, good and bad tendencies. You can call them God and devil. It is up to us which you allow to grow in your mind. It's like your garden has flowers and seeds and weeds, both. Every garden has both. Now, do you nourish the flowers or do you nourish the weeds? You cannot water the weeds and give, you know, fertilizer and then neglect the flower. They'll die. We water the flowers, we give fertilizer to the flowers, and we pull out the weeds because they are harmful to my garden. So similarly, in my mind, there are flowers and there are weeds. You can call them God or devil. So the question is, whom do I nourish? Do I nourish the flowers or do I nourish the weeds? The more I nourish the weeds, weeds means the more I practice anger or practice hatred or jealousy or greed and, you know, intolerance and, you know, looking down on others, selfishness, then that will become more powerful. But if I slowly turn my attention from being selfish to being unselfish, from being angry to be loving, from being hatred to being, you know, compassionate, from taking to giving, and slowly I am nourishing the flowers in my garden. I'm improving. I'm developing divine qualities. So God and devil are both within my own, are under my own control. It's not there is an outer power called devil that is punishing me or making me go. It is my own wrong tendencies which I have developed over years. So the choice is mine. God or devil does not force me to do good or bad. It is I who make wrong or right choices. And so in constantly in life, we are faced with choices. So what choice you make determines what you will become. That's what I think. Yeah, what I do with this is, first, it does disturb you when somebody is mistreated and all, or somebody is doing bad or whatever. First of all, whoever is doing those karmas, you know, is going to suffer the consequences. If you are harming a baby or whatever, you're going to, and ultimately it is his world. It's God, it's your world, you take care of it. He will take care of it. Why do I have to get my mind so upset? Yeah, you read about it, you feel bad. But to constantly dwell upon it and make yourself miserable, oh, that poor child, that poor child. Yeah, you feel sorry, but ultimately nothing you can do about it. If you could help the child, then you find a child being abused and you can help him, go and help him. But if you can't, you just pray for the child and then you leave it to God. Ultimately, the path of spirituality is each one of us has to live it individually. Instead of worrying about why somebody is doing something to somebody and why is not, what I have to worry about is what am I doing and how am I evolving. And so the path of spirituality is self-growth. And I have to, as long as I am growing towards God within, that is my goal in life. If I can help others along the path, very good. But my main purpose, and the problem with the news and the internet is they emphasize the negative. They will show on TV, you know, big pictures of this abused child, hours of interview, and then, you know, they fill your mind in your home and your house with all this stuff. So instead of wasting too much time on worrying about what's happening in Iraq or what's happening in Shafter or what's happening in Phoenix, what is happening in my mind, worry more about that and spend time worrying about that. And what can I do to make myself a better person? So that's what I have learned on this path. But it's good. It's good to be compassionate. And if you can help, help. But just worrying about things that you have no control over doesn't serve any purpose.